You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside hour one of the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith, Rob Parker, in for Dan and the Danettes today. Coming off a big game two, the Suns have a 2-0 lead in the finals, and I'm going to put the over-under at the number of times Rob Parker says the word Fugazi when it comes to the NBA Finals at 25. We have a 3-hour show. I'm putting Fugazi, you're going to say it 25 times, Rob. Are you going to go over 25 times with Fugazi today?
Fugazi, 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 Fugazi. There's five already, so I am on pace.
Okay.
To burst that 25 Fugazi threshold. Good morning, Mr. Jason Smith.
So, we watched the Suns win last night, and it was one of those. It's such a demoralizing loss for the Bucks because everything they tried didn't work, right? They had a great first quarter. And they got away from it in the second quarter. They were big inside. It didn't work. Giannis had a huge third quarter to carry them. Devin Booker started out shooting terribly in the game. And they wanted better foul calls. They didn't want to send the Suns to the free throw line as many times. They got that. They got those things, and still they lose by 10. And I short of the NBA changing how they're going to call the game, like, you know, they get Scott Foster on a plane to Milwaukee and go, okay, just go in and just call these games, right? We know you don't like the Suns, right? They've only won once. Short of them changing how they call the game, I don't see how the Bucks get back in this. You know, this is a different situation. The Suns are grinding, and they're just finding a way every single game, and the Bucks seem like, you know, every 10-point deficit looks like 20 to them.
Yeah, I'm not there yet, only from the standpoint if Middleton and Holiday were playing to their expectations and they were losing like that, I would buy in. I remember I remember Milwaukee losing by 39 in game two to Brooklyn and looked like a battered and broken team before they went back home to Milwaukee. I get it. It's a tall order. The only reason there's hope is that we saw Giannis is not injured like we thought he was. 20 in the third quarter, 42 for the game. He's back and better than ever. So now can Middleton catch fire? Can Holiday? They traded everything to get him, right, including a couple of firstborn, and it hasn't worked out. But I'm not there, Jason. If those guys played well or decent or up to the expectations – and they were down 0-2, then I would say, yeah, you know, it doesn't look like they can get anything done. I think the emergence of Giannis is a good sign going home. Bench players normally play better at home. I'm not there yet. I don't think it's over.
Yeah, but Rob, you know, they only have to get to 4. You know, I mean, the Suns only need 2 more games.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when Milwaukee was up, and I know it was the Eastern Conference Finals, but they were up 2-0 and lost the next 4 to Toronto in route to Toronto getting a championship. So I hear what you're saying. I thought the Nets, when they won the first 2 games, were an easy street. So all of a sudden, a couple guys are hurt and things turn around. I'm just saying the NBA, they won their first 2 games at home. I know what the percentage is. When teams win the first 2 games of the finals, like, what is it, 75% of the time they're going to win the championship or something like that?
Yeah, only four teams have ever done it. 4 teams have come back from 0-2 to win the NBA Finals.
And I remember people when the Clippers were down 0-2 in back-to-back series, in all 3, I should say, but they won the first 2 series coming back. All I'm saying is I'm not there. Let me see what happens in game 1, game 3 in Milwaukee. And I think that will determine if they can climb out of this hole. But definitely, they needed a split, in Phoenix, Jason, to make the task a lot easier to manage.
See, I look at it like this. This is why I'm not as in a playoff where we see momentum changes every 5 minutes. I get that. We've seen that the entire way because of injuries and different situations. Boy, it looks like one team, this
it's
is
totally
such a huge
out of
win.
It, right. Yeah.
Right. And then the next game they come back and it's, oh, boy, how do they win by 30? But watching these two teams, right, I think everything we've seen so far in the finals comes down to this statement. And I'll break it down. the Phoenix Suns know what they want to do, and they're doing it well enough, where the Bucks are still trying to figure out what to do. Right? That's, I think, everything comes down to that, because it's not like this is a great finals. It's not a great, incredibly great played finals. Look, these are neither of these two teams are elite teams. They're going to look, we'll look back at them in history and go,
that's why this finals is a Fugazi finals. Okay, here we go. You just
all right,
said
that's
it.
Six. Let me write that down. That's six Fugazi. I'm right. One, two, three, four, right. Five. Six for Rob Parker. But the Suns are doing what they need to do. They are grinding through these games, right? They're not well-played games, but that's part of what makes a championship team is you can grind through games and you can win like this. They're not playing their A games, you know, but they're doing it well enough. Meanwhile, Milwaukee, you watch them and I go, they change every 5 minutes, right? Like I said, they play the first quarter and they're a big team and it's we're going inside and they find a way and they're up after the first quarter and I'm saying to myself, okay, Milwaukee, maybe they figured out what they want to do. Then the second quarter comes, they start shooting threes like crazy and they get boat raced and the Suns outscore them by 16. Then they said, okay, let's just stand around and watch Giannis do it in the third quarter, which he does, but they can't cut the lead to any more than 10 points. And then the fourth quarter comes, they make the plays at the end. It seems like they still don't know what their identity is and what they want to do in the finals. How do they want to attack? Do we want to run the offense through Middleton and Holiday and get them involved right away? Do we want to force it to Giannis early and then that'll open things up later on? I feel like they still don't know how they want to attack this and they're still trying to figure things out. Look, even Giannis in his post game said, I'm not worried, you know, Drew Holiday's going to be there when we need him. And look, Holiday had a horrible game last night. He'll be there when we need him. He'll be there. The finals are 2-0. You're down 2-0. Okay, this is not best of 25. This is best of 7. I feel like they still fit well. We have to figure it out. They're going to be swept in 4 games. So going, hey, we're still trying to figure out how to play the Suns in the finals.
No, I hear you. And it all makes sense. It's all logical. But these playoffs haven't been that. We've kept seeing teams look out of it, and for whatever reason, a switch is turned on or whatever. If you remember, again, I'm going back to the Brooklyn series only because they were down 2-0. They got embarrassed in game two, in Brooklyn, and then won a squeaker in game three, and that turned the series around. The Nets had a chance to win that game late, couldn't make 2 baskets when they needed to with the ball in the lead. And all of a sudden, Milwaukee won. But you know, I hear you. And you know, Milwaukee has issues about exactly what they want to do. But you can't win when you're 2 guys you're relying on. And you know, Middleton's been big in the postseason, but he's also had some small games as well. And so that's when you look at him and go, okay. Yeah, he's not a number 2, really. He's not a Robin. Oh, yeah, he was a second-round pick, and he's worked his way up into this. And then there's other games you see him, and he's so great. You go, my God, you know, what a player Middleton is. And then again, the Holiday thing. He's got to show up. He's got to – last night was a game. I called it an upset game. I thought, really, that they would get the whistle with the referees, which they did. I thought Giannis would play much better because he's got the one game under his belt, you know, knowing what his limitations are and feeling out after not playing the end of that Eastern Conference Finals, and he had a big game. But I expected Holiday to play better and Middleton. They can't play like that and expect Giannis to have to score 70 points in order to win a game. Those guys have to show up. I think when they go home, you know me, Jason, I'm not normally Mr. Optimistic. Far from it.
No, but I was stunned. You Fugazi. Now I'm running it. That's 7 times. You missed the Fugazi in the finals, and you're like, oh, I'm not ready to call the finals over. I'm like, who are you and what have you done with Rob Parker?
I know this is not my normal M.O., but I'm just – the playoffs have been crazy. Would you admit that, right? Haven't we seen teams like – you know, I just remember when Dallas won the first 2 games at the Clippers, you know, like – and they were up 32-11 in game 3. Series set match, right? No. They didn't get it done. So and they dominated, and Dallas was doing whatever. Luka had his way, and somehow Ty Lue made some changes, and before you know it, the Clippers are winning in 7 games.
I see. I get that, but this is eventually you get to a point in the season where you're playing a team where that's not going to happen. right? Like, the reason we've seen all of this in the playoffs is because everybody's hurt. All the stars were hurt. You know, the Phoenix's path to the finals is well documented. The best players
on each team. It's Fugazi. Are you kidding? Yes. their championship run, I'm sorry, Phoenix, hello, is Fugazi. Point blank. No AD, no Jamal Murray, no Kawhi Leonard. It can't be any easier than that.
Well, look at the Bucks, right? They go through where the Nets barely had one of their guys healthy, right? And the Hawks are in the Eastern Conference Finals. Who? That's not an Eastern Conference Finals team with one star, but that's the way the playoffs unfolded. Look, this is a playoff where you're just outlasting the other team. You know, the other teams. It's going to be, hey, we stayed healthy the most. Look, they lost Dario Saric to a torn ACL in Game One, and the Suns are like, yeah, okay, we're good. I mean, they're a team that they had a big injury already in the finals, and no one's even talking about it because it doesn't matter. You know, they know what they want to do. They are playing at the level that they need to when all the other teams are still struggling to figure it out. They've been the best team in the playoffs, bar none. Would you agree with that? The Suns have been the best team in the playoffs so far.
Yeah, because they haven't been really interrupted. You know what I mean? And I know Chris Paul was banged up a little bit in the first round against the Lakers with a shoulder, and then he had the COVID, you know, against the Clippers. So I guess if you look at that, but yeah, for the most part, I do believe in that the Larry O'Brien trophy, when it's given out in a few days or whenever it is in the week, they should attach some crutches to it. I think that would be appropriate to have the Larry O'Brien trophy with crutches, because that's what it's been.
Or just have it wrapped in athletic tape. You have it wrapped in gauze. Say, yes. Hey, don't drop it. This could break. Because that would be the thing where, you know, Chris Paul holds it up and it just breaks in half. It's like, oh man, we got to get a new one of these. That's kind of the way it goes. No, but this Fugazi that you've been talking, because now that's been in my head since hearing you on the promos, yes, and everywhere. Like, it's every promo I hear the word Fugazi and I think about you, right? I don't think about Donnie Brasco or you know, I think about you with Fugazi, and it's I get it. I get that this is that kind of playoff where neither of these teams are elite, and it's you're outlasting it. But sometimes the playoffs are just like this. Sometimes, you know, not every year we get a phenomenal NBA playoffs and finals where we have game sevens and big buzzer beaters. You know, sometimes it's like, sometimes this is what it is, and you know, you can't control that. And you know, Phoenix, at the very least, like I said, they're, you know, neither of these teams are great, but Phoenix, with everybody injured and Phoenix going through injury and health issues themselves, like, they won games without Chris Paul, you know, earlier in the playoffs, you know, they're going to come in and it's going to be easy to say, okay, with this stamp, Phoenix Suns, X, they're the best team in the NBA. Right. And the same thing with the Bucks. The Bucks somehow come back and win the finals and win this. And, you know, if they come back and they blitz the Suns and they win and suddenly Chris Paul gets old overnight, I don't see it happening. But if it is, you would say, wow, the Bucks, hey, they put a stamp on it. Right. That's the best team in the NBA because they beat the team that was going through the playoffs and had the least amount of difficulty with anybody. Boom. You earn that championship in the NBA more than any other one because of what you have to go through. And sometimes it's the twists and turns of seven game series and outscoring the other team and having your stars play at incredibly high levels. And sometimes this is the playoffs. And I get that. Right. Look, Devin Booker had a great second half last night. He was phenomenal. He had stunk out loud up until last night, because the last seven games, he shot the ball incredibly poorly. And it was on the Bucks to try to make Devin Booker beat them instead of Chris Paul. But Booker comes up with the second half that's needed then. You know, there's something to be said for having that grit and determination and being able to win the title like this, because the NBA playoffs is a marathon, man. It's not, hey, in the NFL, you can get hot and win a couple of games and look at you, you're in the conference championship game and you're one win from the Super Bowl, or in Major League Baseball where you can squeak in as a wild card, but you have three good starting pitchers and suddenly bang, 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 there you are in the World Series. I mean, the NBA, there's no way around it. Like, all the pretenders get unearthed and we see who they all are, and the teams that can wind up, you know, getting to the championship, it's like, okay, that's a battle. That's a huge battle they went through. They've just gone through a gauntlet for the last month plus to try to win the championship.
Yeah, it's the NBA has been very, very strange, and all of your points are real and honest and legit. I just think
they're not often, Fugazi. They're not Fugazi. Okay,
no, they're not Fugazi. I'm gonna give you okay. Your points are well taken, but there's something that I just you know, like, if Giannis was still banged up and he had 20 last night, you know what I mean? And Chris, he had 42. He had a big third quarter. This is a guy who we didn't even know Jason was going to play, right? Didn't we not? We didn't know when game one rolled around. So if I'm Phoenix, I'm like, okay, well, they got their star back and he's playing like a star. But are those other guys, are they going to stink up the joint for the entire finals, or do they show up in Milwaukee after they have some beer and some brats and they go bowling? You know what I mean? Once they get back home, do things turn around for them? So that's the part that if I'm Phoenix, I'm a little afraid of that 2-0 lead could be 2-2 if two guys show up to the party and they're bringing brown bags with them. So I'm trying to figure out, is Drew Holiday going to play this poorly the entire finals? I'm not. I can't believe it. I have to see it to believe it.
All right, I'm going to give you credit for 8 fugazis here so far.
Well,
all right,
on your way to 25.
Yeah,
wow.
I'll give you credit for 8. Well, you gave me 5 right off the bat just to say it. Then I think you just ran out of breath. I think that's why you stopped at 5. So I'll give you credit
know what?
For 8 fugazis.
I might be the Ohtani of fugazis for this season. You know, putting together that kind of season for the show. Because Ohtani's putting together some season. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we're going to get to big stuff in baseball, the All-Star game, the Astros.
I'm heading there. I'll be there in Denver for the All-Star game next week. I can't wait, Monday and Tuesday. So, yeah, can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah, and you'll get to see all the Astros play. Oh, you're not going to see that. Oh, that's going to happen.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Dan Patrick Show, Jason Smith, Chris Broussard, Jason Smith and Rob Parker from The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard.
Broussard, what?
I got ahead of myself. I'm pumping your show, and I got ahead of myself. I called you Chris Broussard for a second. I'm sorry about that, Rob.
Do you know I'm tall, I'm good-looking, and I'm smart? How in the world could you get us mixed up?
Well, the thing is, I have good impressions of both of you, so that's kind of why it's in my head that way. I was going to do my Chris Broussard impression, but I kind of blew it there on the intro.
It's all good.
That's my fault.
I'm sure you'll do it. You'll do it.
That was a fugazi intro that I gave. It was a fugazi intro
Rob
that I came
Parker,
to.
That's right. That's right. Don't forget it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Rob at Rob Parker FS1. Joining
us now. Do they still sell Fresca or no?
Yes, they do. Dude, I go in and it's always on the bottom shelf, the real dusty bottom shelf, like in pavilions,
right,
where it's like, oh, they still have Fresca. I can get that. And you pick
That's
it up.
Unbelievable.
It's like, all right, they got to replace that.
It's right next to Tab, right? No, it's right next to Tab.
I don't think they sell Tab anymore, man. Not, that thing had saccharin in it. I don't think they had it. With us now on the hotline, hey, you hear him right here on the Dan Patrick Show, Sports Radio, the Mike Heller Show, 1070 The Game in Madison. You can follow him on Twitter, at Heller Sports. That's at Heller Sports, and he kind of summed up Game 2 of the NBA Finals in his most recent tweet, Giannis, help wanted. Mike, what's happening this morning? How you doing?
What's happening?
Hey, guys. How are you? Good to hear you.
Yes.
Where are you the day after? I assume you probably went to bed last night going, man, what can the Bucks do? Is today a new day or is still today, man, I don't know what the Bucks can do?
Well, I think you have to give, Milwaukee's going to look at this. We're going to look at it differently. We're going to look at the failures of Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton in the first two games and paint that picture that it's what Milwaukee hasn't done. And I do believe that's a big part of it. The stars came to play for Phoenix. Their starting lineup, they got production all across the board. The Bucks got production from Pat Connaughton off the bench and Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I look at Giannis and go, those are performances that you have to have from a two-time MVP. But Chris Middleton has a huge contract, and Drew Holiday was signed for a lot of money. They have to come play. Then I look at the other side of it, and I'm thinking, boy, Devin Booker, when he needed to be, he was spectacular. The Bucks cut it to 6 in 4.5 minutes left to go, and then Phoenix goes crazy. I mean, they make all of their shots. You can't get outscored by 33 points from the three-point arc and expect to win. In game one, the Bucks beat them at the three-point line. In game two, they got hammered at the three-point line. I got to give some props to Phoenix for being as good as they've been in the first two games. They've got stars. All of them have been ready to play.
But, Mike, I'm not ready to throw dirt on the Bucks. I'm being Mr. Optimistic today because obviously they would have loved to have split. I mean, that's your dream scenario. But Phoenix held home court serve and whatnot, so I'll give Phoenix that, and you're right. But if you're Milwaukee, you got to say, we got our star back. Giannis balled out. He had 42. He had 28. So he's healthy. Okay, so we got him back. Now you got to get, as you brought up, Holiday, and you got to get Middleton. You got to get those guys. And going back home, you know, where you feel more comfortable, bench players play better at home than they do on the road. We saw the Bucks destroyed in Brooklyn in game two, right? Came back, won a close game three at the end that the Nets could have easily won if they made a shot in the last 2 minutes or a minute of the game, but they didn't. And all of a sudden, the series turned. So I'm not there to say that this series is over. If Middleton and Holiday had played like decent or average or regular games and they lost, then I'd say, okay, they got no shot. I'm not there yet. Am I too optimistic?
Yeah, and that's not like you at all.
I've listened enough
to know that there's something wrong. You know, I know maybe you were up late and then up early. I don't know what it is about you right now, but that's not you. I think in local sports talk radio, which is what I'm doing here, you can either be an optimist, which I'm not. I don't want to be blindly optimistic, or you can be a realist. And the realist in me says this series is not over. That's the part I agree with you. However, the Bucks are going to have to play at a different level across the board from Holiday and Middleton in particular, in order to have a chance. And they can't lose a game at home. Phoenix is really good. I think I would agree with what Jason said earlier. They have been the best team in this playoffs. They have not hit a bump. They've worked through without having Chris Paul. They have a very athletic, deep roster. Bridges has been fantastic. And Ayton is a really good player. Even when he doesn't score, he's a good player. I think Phoenix is the better team. I picked them before the series. I'm going to stay with it, but the Bucks have to win on Sunday in order for there to even be a conversation. And that would be the first question I would have. Can they win on Sunday? Home court is good cooking here. They'll be ready to go. I think that they will win, but I wouldn't bet on the Bucks right now. Phoenix just seems to me to be a much better team.
Wow. You when the matchup was Bucks Suns, you picked the Suns?
I did.
So did
wow,
I.
Wow, that's guts,
the Suns,
man.
Too. No, that's it's not.
Guts.
That's good talk, sports
that's,
talk radio.
That's Mike lives in Madison.
That's okay.
He's in Wisconsin.
He's not going to sit
one team
there.
Has been better. The Bucks had a little bit of a – you guys were talking about it earlier with the Fugazi conversation. The Bucks playing Brooklyn minus their stars. If Brooklyn has all three stars, the Bucks win a game. That's a gentleman's sweep. If Atlanta doesn't lose Trae Young, and Atlanta, I think, is a good team. I don't think by any stretch they're great. If they don't lose Trae Young, I don't know that the Bucks win that series. So I think the Bucks have some flaws. Middleton is a really good scorer. He's streaky. He's not athletic. And I'm not sure what has happened with Holiday. He's had a few moments, but whether this moment is new to him, because I thought Holiday would be more of an impact in the finals or even throughout this playoff run. He has been less than.
The other part of, and I wrote a column today for Deadspin about Giannis, is I think Giannis has already won. I think people will say, what do you mean he won? Well, a lot of people, they ridiculed Giannis for staying in Milwaukee, for signing that Supermax. People like said, he'll be another star that never wins a ring. He was dumb. Why would he do that? He could have gone to Miami like LeBron did, right, with that team. Or he could have gone to Golden State the way KD did. He could have just forced his way out of Milwaukee. He would have got paid no matter where he went and had a chance at winning a title. And now look at where he is. He's in the NBA Finals. He might not win it, But he did get there, right? This franchise hasn't won in 50 years, but he's in the NBA Finals and still has a chance. And here's the better part. As they go forward, maybe he can get another player to come to Milwaukee to see what they're building there to say, you know what, Milwaukee, you can get to the Finals. You can have a chance to win. You do make the same money no matter where you're playing, and you don't have the same pressures that go with going to some other big towns. Like New York or L.A., you know, the pressure that comes with it. So I think Giannis has won, Mike.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Giannis does not come from the coddled AAU background. He grew up in a very tough situation, and he has created his own path. And I thought last night his third quarter, which is the highest scoring individual third quarter since Jordan in 93 in an NBA Finals, that was all heart. That's 9 days after what appeared to be a year-long injury. And his heart, his desire, his want to, that's something to aspire to. And I agree with you. I think he's already won that conversation. And he played at a level last night off of injury that is, that's what stars are made of. He's already a star as a two-time MVP. But to showcase that in an NBA Finals game against a very good front line from Phoenix was impressive. He just needs a little help.
Damian Lillard. Sorry, I had to sneeze there for a second.
Are you all right, Dad? You need the Heimlich over there?
Sorry.
Good luck with that.
Damian Lillard. Sorry. Now, the thing, though, about this, Mike, is that Mike Heller's with us here on the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith, Rob Parker in for the guys today. Is that, yes, while Giannis was great, it was more of, hey, okay, Middleton, it's not his night, it's not Holiday's night, so we're going to stand around and watch Giannis do his thing. And while if you said to me in a vacuum, hey, you should see Giannis's third quarter, right? You know, when the guy's scoring 20 points in a quarter, that is terrific. What are the Bucks up by 5? They're up by 10? They didn't cut into the lead at all. You know, and that's a big warning sign that, hey, can they rely on Giannis when we get down to it? Stars have to win NBA titles. And this is a going into halftime after a bad second quarter. Okay, they're down 11. Giannis does his thing, and he is remarkable in the third quarter, and they're down 10 going to the fourth quarter.
Well, but that's the help wanted sign, Jason. I mean, they didn't get anything from anybody else.
Right.
Middleton doesn't make any shots. I mean, Middleton and Holiday combined to shoot about 32% between the two of them last night. You can't win with your second and third stars not showing up. And Giannis kept them. Listen, if Giannis doesn't have that quarter, then they're down 25 going to the fourth, and we're all flipping to watch something else. So, the other stars have shown up. When Giannis got hurt, Middleton and Holiday were fantastic. So my expectation, and this is the part where I agree with Rob on this, my expectation is the other two will show up on Sunday night and the Bucks will get a win. My question would come on Wednesday night. What happens after the emotion leaves from Sunday, and can you win both games at home? Because that's the only way you have a chance in the series, is to hold home court.
No doubt. I mean, they have to do it. And the other thing is, the officials, I mean, right? The official, we talked about that. I was on Mike's show yesterday, and you know how it works in the NBA. When they see a big unbalanced when it comes to free throws for a team, they work the referees, and then what happens? It worked last night, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It switched around, and I know it's a different crew, but you know as well as I do that there was conversations that it can't be that way, and then they just kind of buried the whistles last night. The Bucks did get to the line a lot, a disparity the other way. So, yeah, it's self-corrected, and it's still that part wasn't enough.
Mike, have you started a GoFundMe for to get Scott Foster to referee games 3 and games 4? Has that started yet? Because that'll get you right back in it. I mean, suddenly it's going to be 2-2 and it's a brand new series if that happens.
Can Scott Foster help Middleton make a three?
No, but he'll get him to the free throw line to shoot three free throws. Is that
right? Yeah, that might be it.
You can follow him on Twitter at Heller Sports. That is at Heller Sports. Mike Heller, 1070 The Game, Madison. You hear him right here on the Dan Patrick Show. Mike, as always, appreciate your time. Best of luck. Well, hopefully we'll talk soon.
All right. Appreciate it.
And what about those Milwaukee Brewers?
Yeah,
I know basketball's still going on.
On the crew poo right now.
Hey, we can't just poo-poo them with 53 wins. Are you surprised where they are in the Central?
They shouldn't be there without Yelich. Yelich hasn't done anything. That's a big story. There is a power outage, and he is not. He is a total shadow of what he was before he shattered his kneecap at the end of 19. I know he's got back issues, but it's robbed him of a lot right now. So without that and the injuries they've had offensively, and you look at their run production, for them to be 7 games clear in the division and 17 games over 500, it's really impressive. Their pitching is really October scary. If they can throw 3 starters and their 2 back of the bullpen guys and Devin Williams and Josh Hader, if they can be there in October, look out, because if you shut people down, you've got a shot.
Yeah, you just have to avoid the Mets. That's your thing.
Oh,
I think
is that
you have
what
to
it
avoid
is?
The Mets.
Oh, my God. Here we go. That Mets nonsense. All right.
The Mets are in first
Get
place.
Get out of here.
Right.
Hey, Mike, I missed the game. Can you tell me, how did Josh Hader do against the Mets? Can you tell me? I missed that game.
Oh, here we go. Stop that.
Hey, guys, I don't have any more time right now.
That's right. You got to run. I got to run. Hello. Right.
Take it easy, Mike. Have fun.
Thanks, Mike.
Great stuff from Mike Kelly. Oh, yeah, I can't talk about that.
I'm sorry. I had to throw the Brew Crew in.
They're having a great season. Look, they were my dark horse pick for the World Series.
Were they?
It's an easy Oh, yeah. I love the Brewers coming in there. Pitching is great. And he's right. To be able to be doing this without Yelich, I mean, that's huge, man.
They have almost as many wins on the road than they do at home. That's how well they've played. So. Mm.
But the one thing that Mike talked about, getting into Game 3 and trying to win Game 3 and Game 4, is you know, sometimes this finals reminds me a little bit of the Lakers-Pistons final from 2004. I'm going back a little bit. I got to explain to Generation Z.
You know, I covered that, right.
Yes. I got to explain to Generation Z that the Pistons were actually in the finals once, yes. When the Pistons and their heavy defense was able to really overwhelm the Lakers.
You remember
was
a 5-game sweep.
No one saw that coming, that they'd be able to play defense the way they did. But in that series, I remember watching it going, man, the Lakers are down 7, and it feels like they're down 20 because the buckets were so hard to come by. They had to work for so many hoops, and 7-point leads seem like they're 20-point leads. And that's kind of how this series has been so far for the Bucks. The Bucks get no easy baskets. Right, because they're still struggling with their identity, who they are. They get no easy baskets, and every time down the court, it's how are we going to do this? We're going to rely on Giannis to make a shot, and there's a lot of pressure. Whereas the Suns are still getting out in transition, and they're getting a fair share of easy buckets. You got to have some kind of easy buckets to juice your offense, and the Suns are getting it. And you know, maybe they're not getting it to the point they were in the regular season when they're scoring 130 points, but they are playing a very good defensive team in Milwaukee. But they're still doing enough, and they're getting these easy buckets in transition where every time for the Bucks going down the floor, it's okay, we got to get a hoop here. And if they cut it to 4, it still seems like it's a big lead for the Suns. And when the Suns hit a triple to get it back out to 9, you feel like the game is over. They need to get more easy buckets somehow if they're going to get in this, because you can't just fight every single time down the floor for a bucket.
No, it makes it difficult. And like you say, it does. Even a lead of 6 or 8 points just seems like you can't get over the hump, right? It just so you definitely got to get the easy bunnies on the other end, your transition baskets, you know, just things where you don't have to set up against the defense and grind just to get a basket, but some easy ones, and they've been far and few between for the Bucks.
And, you know, and I'm glad I'm not the only one that was surprised at you being Mr. Positivity for the Bucks. Mike Heller was surprised as it as well. So I feel like I'm not alone on this.
No, sometimes you know what I mean. I'm very real, as you know, and I'm going to be very – I use my critical thinking, and I'm always looking at something with a keen eye, and I'm not that quick to join the group and to follow the band or whatever. But in this case, it's just been a crazy NBA playoffs, and I'm not saying I picked the Suns in 6, so I'm just saying I don't think the series is over yet. Like, it's going to be a 4-game sweep.
See, you're talking about critical thinking, and I'm thinking you're going to say, well, I woke up and had coffee today, so I felt good, so I'm ready. You know, I'm feeling positive about the Bucks. Where, like, no coffee or anything, it's doom and gloom. The Bucks are going to lose. It's over for them.
I know. Everybody probably was expecting that.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
Fox Sports Radio, it is the Dan Patrick Show. Jason Smith, Rob Parker, in for Dan and the Danettes today. Thanks to Mike Heller for stopping by with us. As surprised as I was that Rob Parker was Mr. Positivity when it comes to the Bucks, here I am coming in going, hey, I think the series is over. You're like, no, the Bucks can do it. I'm like, are you like a pod person? Like you're going to unzip your head. It's not going to be Rob Parker and you're going to be like Venom or something.
It'll be the end of Scooby-Doo. You know, when they always pull the mask off somebody. I love that on Scooby-Doo. It was always, hey, it's Mr. Heller, right? It's Joe Black, or, you know, whatever it may be, kind of crazy.
It was that Rob Parker from The Odd Couple, and he would have got away with it, too, if it wasn't for
exactly.
Us snooping kids.
Yeah. you meddling kids, right.
So we'll have more NBA on the way coming up. But, you know, big baseball story that is now going to get into the All-Star break and beyond, the Dodgers are going to be without Trevor Bauer. And his administrative leave was extended by Major League Baseball as Major League Baseball and the Pasadena Police investigate claims of sexual assault against him levied by a woman who he had a couple of sexual trysts with. And it's a situation now for the Dodgers, Rob, where he's not going to come back until there's some kind of resolution. And by that, I mean either there's charges filed and then, okay, then he's not coming back, or the Pasadena Police are not going to file charges and then baseball does their investigation and then potentially he can come back. But it's going to be a long time either way, and the Dodgers have to go forward as if they're not going to have him for the rest of the season. Because I don't know when you can expect to say, okay, because it's not suddenly right after the All-Star break, hey, Bauer's coming back. I mean, I don't see the MLBPA getting in a fight with baseball about reinstating him. No, they're waiting for this, for the Pasadena Police to come through and have their decision, and that's going to be a while.
You know what, Jason? I'm not convinced he's ever going to pitch for the Dodgers again. I'm not. I just, aside from the criminal charges, you know what I mean, organizations can also deem people of just that we'd rather not. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't want this guy to wear our uniform anymore, regardless of the other stuff. Like, because he's already admitted to this, that about the, contact with the woman a couple times, right, for a sexual tryst or whatever. Some of the details are disturbing, and I think that hurts him. They've already, okay, canceled his bobblehead night. That's for like mid-August. So They've already said, we're not doing that, regardless, right? Because a week from now, they could say, hey, he's cleared or whatever, and he can play again. They've already canceled that. They've taken all his merchandise down from the website and from the stores at Dodger Stadium. Doesn't that signal something to you?
Yeah, this is where if you say, is he ever going to pitch again for the Dodgers, that goes down every day. You know, I mean, short of a, you know, the no charges being filed, and I don't know that that's going to happen. I don't know that he pitches again, because here's the thing, and you hit on what the big thing is, that he's already admitted, yes, these injuries, but these were part of consent,
right,
when they were having sex. And look, and this is a world that I am not, that I don't know a lot about. I mean, I understand that there's everybody has different, you know, sexual preferences and what they like, and I get that this is not really my world. But when you do something and when you're accused of something, take the Mickey Callaway situation for earlier this year. Mickey Callaway wasn't fired right away because he denied the charges. There was an investigation, it came through, and then Mickey Callaway was let go. But because he hasn't denied it, that's the red flag to say, okay, I mean, baseball should have sat him down right away because of that. Okay, so you admit to that, yes, but it's consensual. And I listened to Amy Dash, who's on Fox Sports Radio all the time, one of the smartest people in the world, and she says, you know, listen, it breaks down like this for me, is that just because there was consent doesn't mean that these injuries, you can just wipe them away. And if you think about it from the perspective of, let's just say, you know, you and I are hanging out, and you're saying, you know, you don't have the guts to throw this baseball through my window of my car. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You don't have the guts. I dare you to throw this baseball through my car. You don't, you throw this baseball through my car. I want you to do it. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. I want you to do it. And all our friends are hanging around and they're egging me on. And you say, go ahead, throw that ball through my car. And then I throw the baseball through your car window. It shatters it. It breaks. Guess what? And I'm in trouble for damaging your car. And you can say, I'm going to sue you. You're going to, you know, you did this. I have witnesses. But wait a minute. But you asked me to do it. You told me it was okay. Doesn't matter. You threw a baseball through my window. So just because, you know, there's you can say, well, there was consent, doesn't mean that you're not on the hook for what happens. And that's part of what the investigation has going on right now.
Jason, no doubt. Chris Broussard and I talked about this. And Chris belongs to a fraternity. And I said, Chris, you have to look at it like this. And Jason, this will register, right? There's hazing in fraternities, right? And mm-hmm. and when you sign up for it, you're agreeing to go apart along with the hazing in order to make it into the fraternity. But sometimes the hazing turns deadly, right? And people go overboard. So you might have signed up for hazing, but and you know your kid is at college or whatever, and then they wind up dead. Does that mean that, oh, no, well, he signed up for hazing. He knew what the fraternity was about. No, there is a degree of everything. And that's why I'm not convinced that Bauer's going to pitch for the Dodgers again. I'm not saying he's not going to pitch somewhere else or you know what I mean? But I'm not convinced that, you know, he'll be back with the Dodgers. And I've already seen, I don't know if you've seen this story, Dave Stewart, the former Dodger pitcher, the Dodgers are celebrating one of their championships, and Dave Stewart is refusing to take part in it over the way the Dodgers have handled this Trevor Bauer situation. You can read that story on MLBBro.com, but that says a lot to me.
Yeah, this is something where with every day it feels like he's thrown his last pitch, you know, and still you don't know how things are going to go, and you're waiting for the investigation to go out, and that's the right thing. But with every day going on, it certainly seems like it's less and less and less. Twitter at How About a Fresca, Rob at Rob Parker FS1. Coming up next, who Rob is not going to see at the All-Star Game next weekend? We got a big conversation on the way right here, Fox.